Well, let's welcome you back to This Week in the Association. I'm Rob Pannier, joined once again by my good buddy Kevin Lucco from the 10th Inning Stretch. And Kevin, out there on a nice, comfortable day out there in St. Paul before this exciting Gary South Shore Railcats game. So I bet, but no broad on Saturday.
No, we have been enjoying the other tradition in St. Paul this summer called a rainstorm. That's right now the field is covered once again. I have to say, Splash Wiper Fluid is getting their money's worth out of their sponsorship in St. Paul this year.
Actually, I think that that rain story has been pretty prevalent throughout the league this year, unfortunately.
Right, it's been a tough one all around. That climate change you're all talking about, Rob.
yeah, we all know where that's going to.
But, we're going to get snow in July. They're going to tell us we're going to have snow in July before you know it.
But it has been a pretty crazy summer because of rain delays, so hopefully that game will get underway. Expectation that they're getting underway tonight, or just kind of a little delay, or maybe nothing at all, really?
I'm hoping it dies off because my wife is going to a Kid Rock concert at Treasure Island Casino about 40-some minutes south of here. So for her sake and our sake, I'm keeping my fingers crossed that maybe there's some rain will blow away in time for a ball game and a concert to get started.
When you get home, she'll be singing Cowboy and a bunch of other stuff for you. So you better be
prepared. Oh, gosh, she just loves Kid Rock. We went last year, too, but a friend of hers wanted to go that. You know, this is Treasure Island. God bless them. They want to have the bigger concerts, but they don't have the parking for it. And they made the amphitheater way too small, where if you don't have seats, you sit in a berm area, but they're not smart like the ballparks where the berms are on an incline. The berm is just flat land. So for a lot of these people, they have to sit behind where the amphitheater seats are, and it's just flat land. And from out there, all you can really see is the screens. So a friend of hers was at the concert last year, and unfortunately for her, she only got to see the screen, so she wanted to go again. So my wife is taking her tonight, so hope you guys have a fun night out. But I tell you what, since we just started talking about the rain's picked up even more. It's sent the wiffle ball game players on screen for shelter.
Well, it should. Hopefully, that'll die down before tonight's game, because folks, this will be broadcast. This will be posted after it occurs. But Kevin was going to be on the radio tonight there with Jared Schlesky from the Gary South Shore Railcats. So that'd be kind of cool. So you should check out that game later on tomorrow or sometime when you get a little opportunity. So you could listen to Kevin's thoughts as the game's going along. So that should be pretty cool.
Yeah, they wanted to get a formal baseball authority on the air with Jared, but they couldn't find one, so they're going to go with me instead.
Foremost authority on American Association baseball. That's who they're bringing in right there. You can count on that for being true. So, well, Kevin, let's talk a little bit about American Association baseball with you right now, and we begin with our player and pitcher of the week. We start with Reese Gregory, who had quite a week out of the bullpen for Lincoln. We have not really acknowledged a lot of bullpen guys this season, but boy, he really earned that spot this week.
Yeah, in a season in which some bullpens throughout the league have been pretty beleaguered, Gregory stepped up for the Salt Dogs the last week and put together a pretty impressive stretch. Was it 4 or 5 games he pitched?
4 games? I think he had a win and winning a save. I didn't give up a run and one hit in 6 innings he pitched in. So it was quite a week for him.
Right. For the former town baller from Minnesota, he got started in the door in Fargo last year. I believe the GM knew him from town ball. So he got in with the Redhawks last year, got in the league, and now he's got noticed by Lincoln and is pitching for the South Dogs. So pretty good success story.
Yeah, I would say. That's pretty impressive. We then head on to Player of the Week. Victor Roach from the Chicago Dogs hits 5 homers, bats .375 in an exciting week where he drove in 13 in 7 games. A second time this season, that we have chosen Victor Roach after a nice run there as Player of the Week, and a well-deserved performance by him as well.
Yeah, it's you know, a pretty power-packed Chicago lineup. He just kind of fits right in with it. Sometimes the accolades seem to head towards Keon Barnum and deservedly so. But than that, Roach has been too bad in that batting order. That's of a Chicago Dogs team that's trying to stick in the race.
Absolutely, they are. And, you know, Kevin, before kind of going through teams tonight, I thought it was kind of interesting to look at a couple of different trends that have happened around the league. The first one that really kind of jumped out at me was the fact that nobody's really got off to a hot start in August. The team with the best record through the first 10 days of this month has been Fargo at just 6-3. Then you have Sioux Falls that has kind of struggled a little bit at 2-6, but everybody's kind of right around 4-5, 5-4. And it's interesting that at the time that you really want to start, you know, establishing yourself as the team to beat, nobody's really been able to do that so far.
Well, I think your theory is true, but within your own theory, you also got all these teams that all want to try to get off to a similar start. So everyone's kind of been ramping the game up, and I think that's why you're seeing parity throughout the league.
It's exciting to see that, I think, because this is the kind of thing that draws fans in, because nobody's really running away with any division. You have, in the North, four teams are within 4.5 games of first place right now, and you feel like if one team could get on a little run, a 7-2 even, that's enough to kind of jump yourself into a fairly comfortable position in your division.
Yeah, you look at the standings right now, most teams only got 23 games left, so you're talking about a 7-game stretch. Well, that's a quarter of the rest of the season, according to my McKinley math.
Well, as we head through this, discussing each team out there, Kevin, I also want to kind of address the fact of it's been an interesting week that I have looked over the last, you know, what teams have performed so far through the first 9 or 10 days of August. And one trend that's kind of jumped out at me has been that as teams, either a team has really put together quite a pitching performance, but their hitting has been abysmal, or they've gotten great hitting, but have gotten no pitching whatsoever. And it's like nobody has really put together a stretch of both of those things right now. And I think that that's going to create for an interesting August for us here, because just kind of looking at these stats, just discussing this in particular, you look at a team, and I'm just going to give this as an example, a team like Milwaukee, 3.43 ERA so far this month, 218 batting average. Then you go the other way with a Winnipeg, 308 batting average, 5.10 ERA. It's interesting that nobody's been able to put together both of those at the same time.
Yeah, I think, I was just messaging my good friend Dan Vaughn today, and when I made to him, we were talking about the Cleburne-Sioux City game. Well, Sioux City got shut out in 12 innings by a pretty decent Cleburne staff. And in the three previous games, they won 2 out of 3 against St. Paul, but they did not score more than 3 runs in any of those. So the team in which we thought was built around a steady offense, it's been good pitching for Sioux City, but the offense seems to have gone missing once again.
Interesting talking about them. 219 batting average in August, 1.99 ERA. So, you know, it's, again, a great situation where a team is putting together quite a run from their pitching staff but isn't supporting them with any offense.
Yeah, well, I mean, like you just said, if you can get a team to click on all cylinders, there, that's the kind of team that can make that late season run.
Well, Kevin, let's jump into going around the league right now, and we begin with the St. Paul Saints, who are swept by Chicago, then lose 2 out of 3 to Sioux City, and it looked like the season might be about to get away from them. Then manager George Samus pulls the trade of the season, I think, so far for St. Paul that has really seemed to come at the right time, because not only has the team brought back Joey Wong and Landon Beck, they re-signed Jake Mathis, and they add probably the best reliever in the American Association this season.
Yeah, Tanner Keyes was acquired from the Milwaukee Milkmen for, I believe, 2 players we named later, the reversionary rights to Adrian Nieto and future considerations. And, you know, talking with guys from other teams during the All-Star break, Tanner Keyes was a name that was thrown out quite a bit. Because, one, he's having a dynamite season, and, two, he is classified as a rookie. So what that's done for St. Paul is that you got 5 rookies now, which opens the door for them to carry 5 veterans, which was the way that Joey Wong was able to get back into the team roster.
Landon Beck comes right in last night and pitches quite a great outing for them out of the bullpen. Wong is maybe the best defensive shortstop in the league. And you know, Mathis, we were pretty sure that he was going to come back, but this opened the opportunity for him to return to the team as well. And now, you know, the Saints are looking a little bit stronger than what we had thought maybe even 4 or 5 days ago.
Yeah, it's kind of been interesting with Landon Beck. That's twice in a row where John Kilichowski has started a game and not made it too far. I mean, Kilichowski just got clobbered in Chicago. Last night, he could have went further, but his pitch count got up and wasn't trusting his stuff. So that's twice in a row now that Landon Beck has come in and thrown multiple innings and thrown very well, which makes you wonder, will we see Beck go the same route that Jordan Jess did and Beck might end up in the rotation, or is it going to be a thing where they're just going to keep piggybacking Kilichowski with Beck and just having a, you know, kind of doing what Tampa Bay does with the opener pitcher, and the opener struggles, then yeah, go to the bullpen.
You look for 6 or 7 innings out of 2 guys to give you the same kind of start, I guess, if you were looking for it out of 1. We move on to the Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks, who swept by the Dogs, then split 4 with Winnipeg, and then sweep the Dogs. My apologies. The one team so far in the North Division that has played exceptionally well in August, and I think this is right now their division to lose.
Right. You know, we were talking about clicking on offense and defense, and yeah, Fargo is definitely one of the teams that has both going for them right now. And, you know, they got served a potential little bit of a blow with the news about TJ Bennett is going to be retiring after, I think it's next weekend, to become an assistant baseball coach at a college. So you saw a name that sticks out at you as a threat on the team, but he was a guy that could play multiple positions for the Redhawks, so they'll have to find a way to replace him.
Yeah, interesting enough, he will be remaining with the team as one of their assistant coaches right now, but that is kind of a big blow because he not only was playing exceptional defense for them, but has a lively bat and is a difference maker in that lineup. The team did see Leobaldo Pena's consecutive on-base streak ended at 40 games this week. And a guy that, you know, we haven't really talked very much about this season is Daniel Comstock, who had quite a week himself so far at 4 homers and a .292 batting average over the last 7 days. And from the catching position, it's been, you know, it seems like everybody in this lineup has some kind of bat that you have to be intimidated by. And now Comstock adds another bat that teams have to worry about.
Yeah, I haven't seen the stats lately, but Yosha Medina, that guy has been notoriously known as a light hitter, has been he's had his average around 250, 260, so, you know, you're going in facing the Redhawks, you don't really catch a break throughout that entire batting order.
We talked a little bit about the Winnipeg Goldeyes and the fact that they've had struggled a little bit with their ERA at 5.10 so far through August, but having a great time batting, hitting quite well at 3.08 in August. They have a big loss when Tyler Hill is lost as his contract is purchased by the Kansas City Royals a couple days ago, but Reggie Abercrombie is warming up right at the right time, and all that kind of skepticism people may have had about him earlier on in the season looks to be a little premature at this point.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of us speculating too, but we just kept wondering, is Abercrombie going to dip once again into that fountain of youth, or was he going to ride off into the sunset? But he's shown that there's some life left in that body, and congrats to Tyler Hill on getting signed. That was, to me, I felt it was long overdue. I think it was just a matter of the right team seeing them and being aggressive enough to pursue him and sign him to the contract. And that's the second guy that Kansas City has signed to a contract in like the last week or so that's yes. Outfielder in the league. Forget the name of the guy that played one game for Kansas City and was signed.
George? Was that right? George was his last name? I'm going to look that up so I can answer that correctly. But
Jordan George?
Jordan, let's see, that was Jordan George. Yes, it was. So they're digging into the American Association system following after the Arizona Diamondbacks have been quite active so far this season in signing guys out of the league. You know, I looked at just as the addition of Keast is a huge one for St. Paul. Winnipeg has been looking for something too. They're the top two guys in wins so far in Kevin McGovern and Mitchell Lamson. But after that, the cupboard's been a little bare. So they reach down there to Texas and add Hilton, and that is a huge addition for Winnipeg right now.
Right, Hilton was seen as one of the two pieces that were going to be pursued. One of them, the other one being Angel Ventura of the Milwaukee Milkmen, who could still get signed yet, but Hilton and Ventura were the ones that are kind of being eyed by contending teams as pieces worth trying to make a deal for. So I just felt like for Winnipeg to land Hilton and Jonathan Marrone, that's a couple pretty good pickups for players to be named later, which, as we know from trades in the past, that could, it could be some valuable pieces, or it could be, well, let's just say pawning off junk. So we'll see how it all works out for the Gold Eyes.
The nice thing about that trade for them, too, is they not only get a guy who will clearly be the number three starter in this rotation and could be a number one or two guy in many rotations around the league, but Marrone kind of, you know, mitigates the loss of Hill because he's having a good season at the plate.
Yeah, he's having a career season. He's only in LS1. It's like his third year in the league. I believe he's one of the guys that survived the year playing for Salina and then played in Chicago last year, but found himself a home with the Bearhawks this season and is having a career year. I don't think he possesses all the tools that Hill had, but that's kind of asking for a lot. But I thought it was a pretty solid acquisition for the Gold Eyes.
We move on to the Chicago Dogs, who were swept by Fargo, then sweep St. Paul, then lose 2 out of 3 to Milwaukee, and then take the first against Fargo-Moorhead. The interesting thing that leapt out at me, Kevin, is over the last 7 days, this is a team that's getting outstanding hitting at .297. However, getting a 1.79 ERA, so they're hitting well and getting outstanding pitching at 1.79, but it's not really, you know, coming across as a team that you would think a team like that would be like 6-1 during that stretch.
Right. It's once again become a real enigmatic team where it's, I mean, you know, they can hit all day, but they just get these stretches where they're just going on the road and laying eggs or getting beat by teams that just, you wouldn't think had any reason, they'd have any reason to lose to, so. They're a tough team to figure out, and you know, after they swept St. Paul, I just kind of thought, well, they're going to leapfrog the Saints and possibly Winnipeg, but now they kind of crash right back to earth. So, difficult team to figure out, and Luke Westfall wound up in the DL. We don't know if that's going to be short-term or long-term, but that's going to be a bit of a loss for them.
Big loss because he came off of his worst start of the season to have a nice outing and giving up one run in 5 innings while striking out 8, and now his move to the disabled list. And you know, again, sometimes it just happens where a team is looking to fill a roster spot, and he might just be on the DL just to kind of give him a little bit of a breather, but also add a guy to the team. But if he's out for any extended period of time, you got to believe the Dogs are dead.
Well, potentially, but they've had other pitchers that have stepped up, but. And you know, Westfall, for as gaudy as his stats are, you kind of look on his pitching log. He doesn't really go that deep in the games. He's maybe a 5, occasionally 6-inning guy. So I see in his replacement for tonight, and his starter is going to be Carlos Zambrano.
Oh, look at that. The former Chicago Cub great there is going to make an outing there for them. So that could be good towards helping him to get back to the major leagues at someday. I would hope for him there. So we'll see what he's got still left in the tank.
I mean, he's been really struggling. They're saying down there his fastball's topping out at about 86 miles an hour. His ERA is in the low 5. So maybe a move into the rotation will rejuvenate him. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I think we had talked a little bit about last week where his ERA had been like 5.5 or 6 over the last, you know, 14 days or so. So maybe this is a time to give him a shot at doing something else. We also want to acknowledge that David Almedo Barrera has his on-base streak up to 33 straight games. So we'll have to see if he winds up catching up to Pena as the league leader this season in that particular category. Moving on to the Gary Southshore Railcats. Right now, there's not a lot of excitement in terms of where this team is at. I mean, their season is probably done in terms of chasing after a playoff spot here. But, boy, you can't argue with the performance of Colin Willis right now, Kevin.
No, the All-Star Game MVP has just been chugging along. And, you know, I don't think Greg Taggart's going to be moving any of his pieces like him. I believe Taggart is kind of committed to his team, his system, and he's not going to make a trade now where he can't get his player back, so you're not going to see Willis move. But he's been a solid player for that ball club for a couple years now, and I think he'll be around for a while yet.
It's kind of disappointing, though, that they did not that he probably won't move, because I really would like to see what this kid can do. If he was at a team like Chicago or Winnipeg or something, with that bat that he has, boy, it would be great. Because I could see this guy hitting 350 over the last few weeks of the season.
Yeah, it was kind of a shame that you don't, some of the better players on them aren't getting a shot somewhere else. You know, good for them to be loyal to the team that they're on and ride out the rest of the year when they really don't have a heck of a lot to play for. But yeah, so you know, it does become a big what if question.
Moving on to the Milwaukee Milkmen in August, back at the kind of the trend of the month here, 3.43 ERA, .218 batting average. You know, I look at this team, Kevin, and I think we've talked about this a little bit, but they have a lot of the look of what we saw last year in the Chicago Dogs. They have a pretty good defensive team, a pretty good pitching staff, but just no hitting. And right now, that's what's killing this team.
No, I mean, when I saw them play, there was one game where they managed to get 5 runs, but for the most part, they just don't really have a lineup that's putting much fear into opposing pitching. But then you get those games where they manage to beat Chicago 2 out of 3 times. It's just kind of perplexing, but yeah, their thing right now is no goals far as their pitching will take them, because their pitching is going to have to keep the opposing team under 4 runs if they want a chance to win.
We move to the South, where only one team in this division is really hitting right now, and so we start with the top team in the division, the Cleveland Railroaders, who lose 3 out of 4 to Texas, rebound to sweep Sioux Falls, then lose 2 out of 3 to Kansas City before beating Sioux City last night 1-0. This is a team right now with a .204 batting average in August, but a .233 ERA with a struggling lineup. And you just, I mean, it's just, they're going to win on pitching right at this particular moment, because that Texas sun looks like it's taking its toll.
Yeah, that could be when they had a successful road trip and they slept in St. Paul and then got 2 out of 3 in Chicago. It seemed like when they got back down to Texas, it was almost like an adrenaline drop, because they had put so much into winning in the 5 out of 6 games that it was almost like a letdown when they got back into Texas. So, but you thought they had that figured out when they secured Sioux Falls in 3 games, including a dramatic finish in one of them. But yeah, Kansas City was a better team for 2 out of 3 games, but then once again, the roller coaster's rolling up again. Cleburne goes in Sioux City, shuts the Explorers down for 12 innings, and scratches a run across the plate.
Well, they've been very... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
You know, that's going to be the thing, too, where they're getting up for the Sioux City series, much like they did for St. Paul and Chicago. So just got to kind of keep that intensity when you're playing against teams that you know you're better than.
And you know something, too, is I think it says a lot more about Texas than we're giving credit for, too. Is I think a lot of people think, wow, you got lost 3 out of 4 to Texas, but this is a pretty good Air Hogs team. So there's really not any feeling of, like, embarrassment to lose games like that, just because Texas has played well at home. So you can't really look at it and think, this is, how dare you would lose 3 games like that to the Air Hogs.
Right, and Texas is playing pretty loose right now. Obviously, they've been out of the chase for a while, so not a lot of pressure. And sometimes these teams, when they don't have the pressure of a race, that they tend to play loose, have fun, and if you're not playing well against them, they're going to steal some games.
We move on to Sioux City, 219 batting average in August, 199 ERA. Right now, this is a team that is really struggling at the plate. Samson, Kyle Wren, and Adam Sasser, all at 200 or below. And I'm kind of thinking the pitching staff looks solid here in Sioux City. Does you feel like Steve Montgomery's got to make a move to bring in a new bat to help this lineup at this point?
I think so. I don't think, in spite of Hazel Baker getting a what amount to do a game-winning home run against Chicago, against St. Paul earlier this week, I don't think he's had the impact that he was hoping for. And you got to wonder what the losing Michael Lang in the trade, you got to wonder what kind of effect that maybe has had on the Explorers lineup.
That's a very good point because, you know, it's not just his bat, too, but this was a guy who could do just about anything in that lineup. Bunt for hits, steal bases, great outfielder. You know, maybe the overall impact of his loss is a little bit more than the team was, you know, equipped to be able to handle at this point.
You know, I've seen Lang play in this league for several years, and, you know, I maybe see him for two or three nights in a row, but seeing him play every night, you get a better appreciation for what he brings. I didn't realize he was so active on the bases, and he hits triples like it's no big deal. Swipes bases, it just makes it look easy. And you know, on the field, he doesn't look like he's like the greatest athlete, but yeah, he just, you know, he's been doing everything for the Saints since he came to St. Paul. So it's been a good trade thus far for the Saints.
Maybe it's that big burly beard that kind of takes away.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Yeah. Looks more like a lumberjack than a right fielder.
Exactly. We move on to the Kansas City T-Bones, who get catcher Christian Carrillo back from the Colombian national team. Back at 500, this is a team, Kevin, that just, they're right around 500 all season long. Been one or two games over, been one or two games under, but really just has not been able to get on any kind of run. And I wonder if that's even in this team's DNA for this season.
Yeah, it's been a tough team to figure out, you know, going into their series of Cleburne and after the first game, which they got off to a great start, but then their best guy, Tommy Callier, got hit hard by the railroaders. And, it, you know, a lot of us were thinking, okay, well, maybe this is the death blow, but then they bounced back in the last two games of that series, come home and handled Texas quite easily in front of a really good crowd in Kansas City last night. I'm not sure if you saw that, 7,106.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I didn't think they could pack that many in that ballpark, but obviously they did, and it's good to see because I know that's been one of the teams we've been a little worried about as far as having attendance drop the last couple of years, so maybe it'll be a start of some pretty good crowd turnout to just that stadium, or what, Just Bats Field, or JustBats.com Field at T-Bone Stadium?
Yeah, I think they're calling it something like that, yeah.
Oh, brother, just give me a basic name. I don't care about field. You're a little your stadium, you can't be both.
You mentioned the struggles. Tommy Collier has really not looked good in his last two outings, but the bullpen has looked better for this team. And I, as much as you really need Collier, boy, that bullpen coming around is a big deal, I think, right now for manager Joe Calfapietra.
Yeah, the bullpen has, they've been taught a pitch that has been missing. It's called strike one.
Yeah, that's for sure.
You know, they're getting ahead on batters, and they got the talent out there. Henry Owens is a very good arm, but you're not a good arm when you're constantly 2-0, 2-1, 3-1 on batters. So just got to trust yourself, be aggressive. And so we've seen all the T-Bones in these last few games. So we'll see if they got a run left in them.
Well, we move to Sioux Falls. It looks like they're pretty much out of the race at this point. They lose five straight, two to Kansas City and then three to Cleburne. They do take two out of three from Texas, but lose last night to Lincoln. You know, Kevin, all season long it was that they were getting incredible hitting and just no pitching whatsoever. Then this month, the 3.73 ERA, which is pretty good, but a 225 batting average is Lago, Reynolds, Coulter, and Glasser are all struggling right now. And it's like, boy, I'm feeling bad for Mike Meyer because it looks like he's pulling all of the right moves, but nothing is going his way.
Yeah, it seemed like the pitching's still kind of been an issue. I'm really surprised that you told me that they've had an ERA of 3.73 this month, because I'm watching a couple of their games, and it just seemed like Meyer was trying everything he could to try to close games out, and whatever he tried seemed to be backfiring. He said Will Solomon trying to close a game. They had I forget the name of the kid from Winnipeg that they brought in. He tried him closing one game. That didn't go well. So Hoyle Rain has been their one and only reliable pitcher ever since Taylor Hill left for Mexico.
Yeah, it's been a kind of thing that, like you said, he is trying everything that he can. And again, the moves are not bad moves. It's just they aren't just working out for him right now. And I'm feeling like kind of this team is snake bitten at this point.
Right. I mean, you could tell he's trying to win games, and that's the frustrating part.
Yeah, because they have not really had – they've had one game that they gave up 10 runs in August so far. But otherwise, they've pitched pretty well so far this month, but got nothing to show for it. A team that I thought was going to kind of give me the big middle finger was the Lincoln Salt Dogs, after I basically said last time that they were out of the race. Then they go out and win four straight games before being swept by Winnipeg, and I mean, just got hammered in Winnipeg. Their pitching staff did there. John Brownell is pitching well right now, but the rest of this team is just, the pitching staff is just not there. And you know, now I don't feel as bad about throwing dirt on them, Kevin.
No, I think at this point they're just playing out the string. And it's kind of getting to be talk amongst some of us that maybe Bobby Brown's job is kind of on the line here. So we'll see if the Salt Dogs will try to save their skipper, or if management's already going to be looking towards next season, bringing in a new man and maybe making some deals to try to get some players renamed later built up to try to rebuild this roster, because what they got going now is just not working.
I sincerely hope that there has been some discussion with ownership to say, look, you're our guy and we'll be back here. You'll be back here next year, or the reverse of that, you know, that no, we're not going to be bringing you back. Cause then that gives him the freedom, you know, to either say, look, I'm going to make deals to, improve this team, you know, to improve the team for 2020, or I'm going to be fighting for my job. You know, one of the two things right here is, and not just leaving him in limbo, because it puts a bad situation where some of these guys might get a real opportunity to be a difference maker, like an Austin Boyle. I mean, he could fit into a lot of teams' bullpens right now and be a difference maker in a chase. But if Bobby Brown's thinking he's still fighting for his job and isn't having that kind of guarantee right now, that guy's stuck in a team that's going nowhere.
Right, and so, you know, it's not acting in the best interest of the players, and that, you know, it's one of the things in this league that bugs me, is when we do see situations like that where that the players are just kind of an afterthought to the agenda of the team or the manager.
Well, we finish off with the Texas Air Hogs, who are 4-5 this month, but having a pretty solid ERA at 3.83. Li Ning, a 7-game hitting streak now. That's pretty good for the young Chinese player there.
Yeah, he's getting a lot of mention through the league as somebody who is going to be at least a really good player in this league. And who knows, maybe the right organization will give him a shot to get a spot in the minor leagues and see if he can work his way up. I think that'd be really good for the Chinese Baseball Federation, too, is to have one of their players, one that came over here to their grand experiment in Texas and did make an impact. So can't help but cheer for the guy.
That's the one thing I would really like to see, is for him to come out of this league and into affiliate ball, just because it would not only make this experiment here to let these guys play in the American Association seem worthwhile, but I think that's the kind of recognition that would be good for both the league and the Chinese national program.
Right, yeah, and you know, you're a young guy, young Chinese player, and you see that one of you guys came over to the U.S. and end up getting a shot in MLB, you're going to be a lot more receptive to trying that yourself, whether at that point there's going to still be something going on with the Air Hogs, and Chinese baseball is another thing. But it's, you know, it's like having a role model.
Absolutely. The one thing that kind of surprised me about him is that I had an opportunity to stand, you know, kind of close to him last season, and he's 205 pounds. I thought that guy was like 170. You know, it just doesn't look as big as I guess his weight is, but interesting. Kevin, you know, I think we've seen the deal of Hilton right now, but there are three other guys on the staff, and Matzik, Eibner, and Ballou that, boy, would really fit in well with another team right now. And I got to believe Chris Bando is probably getting 50 calls a day to try to lure one of those guys away.
Oh, I imagine it was someone who was hurrying off the hook at this point. When you know, when you make the deal that you did to send Tony and Hilton to Winnipeg, you just kind of send a message to the rest of the league that, hey, I'm going to be willing to make a deal here.
And he did tell me that a couple weeks ago that the guys are willing to be dealt, but they wanted to hang around in the Texas organization a little bit longer because they're loving playing with these Chinese guys. But they, you know, they understood that it would help the organization later on if they were traded by the trade deadline. So I think as we get closer to that, we're going to see a few of these guys headed on their way. Let's head to the rest of independent baseball, Kevin. One thing I just wanted to talk about was out there on Indy Island, Indy Baseball Island, there was a great interview with Evan Grusel. I'm hoping I'm saying that right, who is going to be the head of baseball operations in the Western Association of Professional Baseball. Interesting article out there about what they're seeing as, you know, how the league is going to form and how many teams are going to be involved. But this one particular quote just left out of me. I just had to share. He was asked whether the players were going to get paid and what type of salaries they would expect. And his response was, yes, players will be paid, and we have a pretty cool surprise on pay structure for younger players. I'm thinking pretty cool just means you're going to get paid, but maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, maybe they're going to have to do chores during the day and earn an allowance as opposed to a salary. Kudos to Kayla Thompson of IndyBallIsland.com for getting in touch with the president right away and being the first one out there with an article. So, you know, it was a pretty, other than the stuff you mentioned, it was pretty paint-by-numbers sort of response from him, but good on her part to be aggressive and get out there and get an interview.
I tell you, go out in IndyBallIsland.com and check it out. It is a really good article. So I couldn't recommend it to you more. Kevin, we got a couple of big series headed up this weekend and then heading out of the weekend. So let's talk about Cleburne at Sioux City. Obviously, that great game last night, 1-0 in extra innings. Fargo-Moorhead at Chicago. Chicago taking the first game of that series out there. But this has got to be an opportunity for both Sioux City and Chicago to feel they got to come away with victories, and they got to win these series, or you know, they're not going to stay as tightly in the playoff race as they're hoping.
Right, and so we call them NHL four-point games because it's quite a swing from, you know, if Sioux City loses tonight, they're three games out as opposed to one. So that's a two-game swing right there. So, yeah, sweep in either direction is going to have quite an impact on races in the north and the south.
Coming out of the weekend, we have two big series. Cleburne heads to Chicago, which should be a great series right there. And Winnipeg and St. Paul, I think that has every bit of a playoff atmosphere to it. The team that winds up winning that series has got to feel really good about where they stand at that point.
Winnipeg and St. Paul, it's the American Association version of the Hatfield and McCoys, so. You know, one team could be in first, one could be in fifth, and it's going to be a playoff-like atmosphere. So, and it just seems like the way the Saints are lining this up, they'll have Eddie Medina pitching game one of that series, and Jordan Jess throwing game two after throwing really well in Sioux City. So, I think Sam is just kind of seeing it the same way we are, as these are a sweep would just go a long way towards trying to pull away from the Dogs and the Golden Knights.
Let me correct myself out there, Kevin. I said Cleburne and Chicago. I meant Cleburne and Kansas City, which might be the last gasp for Kansas City. If Sioux City should, let's say, take two out of three in their series with Cleburne, and then Cleburne comes to town and takes two out of three against Kansas City, I'm wondering if that might be the it for the T-Bones there.
Well, as far as catching the railroaders, at that point, Cleburne comes all that looking good, he might as well start printing the playoff tickets down there. But for KC, I mean, they're still within shouting range of Sioux City, so they seem to have Cleburne's number this year, so we'll see if Captain Patriots got another wrap it up the hat, and maybe the T-Bones can knock off the Railroaders again after. And we, you know, we talked about what we talked about before with Railroaders coming down from a big series and not getting up for the next one. So we'll see if that repeats itself in Kansas City this week.
I want to say, Kevin, I think when you said playoff tickets being produced there in Cleburne, that Brad Allred is hyperventilating right now. So, yeah, I just want to point that out. He's probably pretty excited about that thought.
Come on, he probably had prototypes for the playoff tickets printed off last May.
You're probably right. Well, Kevin, the exciting time of the show, which we know means the Kevin Lucco Power Rankings. So who do we got this week?
Okay, the American Association Power Rankings brought to you by Splash Some Wiper Fluid, the proud sponsor of the well-used tarp here at CHS Field that is still taking a beating as we are speaking. Number 12, the Texas Air Hogs. Number 11, Gary Salt Shore Railcats. I got Jared Schlemsky a couple doors down, so I didn't want to say it too loud. Number 10, Milwaukee Milkman. Number 9, Sioux Falls. Number 8 is Lincoln. Kansas City is in 7th, trailing Chicago, who is 6th. Sioux City, number 5. They've been kind of trending down lately. St. Paul at 4th, Cleburne at 3rd. Winnipeg jumps up to the 2 spot at number 1. Once again, the Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks.
That sounds like a righteous power ranking. I would totally go. Who I saw? Did anybody see a dramatic impact from last time? A dramatic change?
I think Sioux Falls may have dropped a little bit. I think Lincoln has kind of rose from the dead a bit. But, yeah, it was a little, the weird one was Sioux City getting all the way down to 5th.
Yeah, well, they haven't been playing particularly great lately, and losing 1-0 didn't help them out there. Kevin,
I
let's go.
Fargo-Moorhead's kind of pulling away from Winnipeg. I got, with my point system, I got Fargo at 56 and Winnipeg's at 53. And Cleburne-Chicago at 51. So,
well, what's heading out there at the 10th inning stretch right now, Kevin?
Well, I'm going to have a little bit of a write-up on Sunday night doing my weekly recap. And then Marty Scott last night, former St. Paul Saints skipper who won 2 league titles in 1995 and 1996, was inducted into the Killebrew Rootbeer Baseball Scouts Hall of Fame. So it kind of got me waxing nostalgic for the Marty Scott years at Midway Stadium and just the kind of the buzz that was around St. Paul Saints baseball at the time. So yeah, I'm a little bit of a write-up, kind of reminiscing about those times.
That is awesome. That is awesome. Any final thoughts for this week, Kevin?
Yeah, you know, not a thought as much as a story. So I decided to take you on a Northwoods League game in Rochester. And, okay, this is kind of getting into a final thought territory because this is ridiculous. For the final week of the season, the Northwoods League knows this is a problem and does nothing about it because they want to squeeze in as many games as they can. Do the players have them to go back to college? What's the roster in the American Association? 23 guys?
23, yep.
Mankato, trying to play for a playoff spot, is down to 18 players.
Well, that's not many.
Including an 8-man pitching staff.
Yeah, that's not many.
So they were playing St. Cloud on Thursday night. They're training St. Cloud for the second half of their division. So, great game by Mankato. They're up 6-0 in the 7th inning. St. Cloud gets the bases loaded. Guy gets a little blooper to second base, bounces in front of the second baseman. Second baseman races to touch second and then throw to first to complete the double play. Okay, double play, inning over. They play Take Me Out to the Ball Game. St. Cloud comes back out to the field, brings a new pitcher into the game. Pitcher's warmed up, ready to go. Umpires come out of the huddle and decide to change their call.
What?
I have never seen this in all my years of baseball, where a team has been fully ready to begin the next half inning, and they get called back in because they changed a call.
Unreal.
So the second baseman for Mankato argued and got kicked out of the game, and that carries a suspension. So now your 18-man roster is down to 17 because I'm not sure how many games he was suspended for. But so I'm on Twitter with league executive Matt Bomberg kind of explaining all this as it's happening. He goes, I'll get the ejection port later tonight. Or as I'm messaging him about it, someone in the Mankato dugout gets thrown out of the game. I said, well, you'll be getting two reports because someone else just got tossed. But then the speculation was that it was because in Mankato they have like a seating area right above the dugout. So the announcer on radio was thinking that maybe it was a fan that yelled it because they couldn't really point out a particular player that got thrown. So, yeah, it was a different night in the Northwoods League.
Well, you know, I guess we're looking to make baseball more exciting. Maybe that's the way to go.
You know, for some of them, I think it was just a random August night of baseball. Get out to the ballpark because you never know what you're going to see.
That's absolutely correct.
And I should say, too, when that call got reversed, St. Cloud got four runs and got back into the game.
Ah. Wow.
But Mankato did hold on to the very same playoff hopes.
Wow.
With their iron 17.
Well, that looks like a new rule change in the Atlantic League for next season, Kevin, where umpires can decide to overturn a call as the next team, you know, as the inning has changed and everything is going on and they're ready to start the next half inning, but go back to the original, the inning from the previous batter. So why not?
Yeah, let's just take it to the extreme and say, well, you're in the eighth inning. We decided that was a balk in the sixth inning, so let's just rewind the game back to that point and we'll resume it again.
Exactly. That's what every pitcher will love to hear at that point. Well, we want to thank you for joining us this week. For Kevin Lipko from the 10th Inning Stretch, I am Rob Pannier from the Minor League Sports Report, and we will see you next time on This Week in the Association.